One of the best-known stories in the Bible is to be found in the second book of Samuel, chapters 11 and 12. The Israelites are at war with the Ammonites, and the commander of the Israelite troops, Joab, is besieging the Ammonites in the town of Rabbah. Meanwhile, the Israelite king, David, is at home in Jerusalem. And whilst there in Jerusalem, David sees a very beautiful woman and inquires after her. And he's told that she is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, who is one of David's foreign troops fighting for him. David sends for Bathsheba, has intercourse with her, and she becomes pregnant. And here we see the first stirrings of David's conscience. He's done wrong, and if he's found out, it may well bring shame on him and also reprisals. And so David decides to try and do something about it. And so he calls Uriah back from the front line, and when he meets him, he asks him how the war against the Ammonites is faring. And then, having found that out, he sends him home to visit his wife. But Uriah is a conscientious soldier, and he refuses to visit his wife whilst the other soldiers are fighting, and he spends the night with David's slaves. Now, David was hoping that by getting Uriah to visit his wife, he could pass off the child as Uriah's. But his first ploy fails, and so, as a last resort, he commands Joab, the commander of the troops, to put Uriah where the fighting is at its fiercest, in the hope that he will be killed. Joab does this, and Uriah, along with some of David's guards, are killed. And Joab sends a report back to David to this effect, telling him how the battle's gone and ending with the bald statement that Uriah has been killed. When Bathsheba finds this out, she goes into mourning, and after the period of mourning is over, David takes Bathsheba to be his wife, and she bears him a child. But all this is wrong in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord sends David a prophet, Nathan. And Nathan tells David a parable. And he says that in a city there were two men. One was very rich, with large herds and flocks, and the other very poor. He had one small lamb, which he reared himself in his own home. Now the rich man has a visitor, and instead of taking an animal from his own herds and flocks to feed his guest, he takes the poor man's lamb. And when David hears this story, he is angry, and he says that the man who's done this deserves to die, and he shall pay four times over for what he's done. And then the prophet Nathan says to David, "You are that man." And Nathan says, The Lord made him king of Israel and gave him many wives. And if he'd have wanted more favours, he would have only need to have asked. But instead, David has broken the laws of the Lord. He's committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he's arranged to have her husband Uriah killed by the Ammonites. Nathan stirs David's conscience, and David says, I have sinned against the Lord. But Nathan says that David will be punished for his sin. He will know the sword throughout his life, and the child of Bathsheba and David will die. But nevertheless, Nathan says that the Lord forgives David. Then the story goes on that David prays and fasts, hoping that the Lord will show mercy on his child. But sadly, the child dies. After the child has died, King David resumes his normal life, and he has intercourse with Bathsheba, and she bears him another child, the son Solomon. A well-known biblical story. And in it, one of the things that we see is that the Lord God sends his prophet Nathan to stir David's conscience. We all have a conscience, and when we do wrong, our conscience should alert us. We probably all have an alarm clock at home. It goes off in the morning to tell us when we should get up and go off to work, or get up and do the things that we've planned that day. Well, we can think of our conscience as our inner moral alarm clock. And so when we do wrong, it should ring. In our prayers, one of the things we should do is confess our sins, our wrong actions, hurtful words, unloving thoughts, and the goodness we've failed to do. In our prayers, we need to confess our sins and to seek God's forgiveness for them. And the Bible says that our God is loving and forgiving. Psalm 103 describes the Lord like this. He pardons my guilt and heals all my suffering. He rescues me from the pit of death and surrounds me with constant love. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, long-suffering, and forever constant. And Jesus tells us of two memorable parables about God's forgiving love. There's a parable of the prodigal son, in which the younger son takes his inheritance, turns it into cash, and squanders it in reckless living. And then when he comes to his senses, he determines to go home to his father and confess his sin. He does so. The father welcomes him back, hugs him, kisses him, and puts on a great feast for him. The father forgives his son and restores him. And the other parable is a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. They both go to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee tells God how good he is. But the tax collector simply confesses his sin. And Jesus tells us that it's a tax collector who confessed his sin, who was forgiven. And we need to remember that the people of Israel looked upon tax collectors as notorious sinners, for they served the Roman occupiers and were often rich and greedy people. And so, God is a loving and forgiving God who forgives our sins. But that doesn't mean that our sins don't matter to God. They do matter to him, and he doesn't condone them. They cause him great pain, and they deserve condemnation and punishment. And this is why Jesus went to the cross, to pay the punishment for our sins. If you get a bill and you pay it, sometimes the recipient will stamp the bill paid. Well, this is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the debt of our sins. He paid the punishment our sins deserved by dying on the cross. And so God, through Christ, offers us the forgiveness of our sins. But of course, we need to accept God's love and forgiveness. And one way we do it is by confessing our sins and being sorry for them. King David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." The prodigal son returned to his father and said he'd sinned against God and against the father, his father. And the tax collector prayed in the temple, "O God, have mercy upon me, sinner that I am." And so we need to be penitent for our sins. And our penitence should also lead us to, with God's help, try not to repeat the wrong we've done, and if possible, to make amends for any past wrong. God forgives us unconditionally, but our attitude may hinder our acceptance of God's forgiveness. Think of the Lord's Prayer. In it we pray to God, "Forgive us the wrong we've done, as we forgive those who have wronged us." And if we fail to forgive others, our unforgiving spirit will block the forgiveness that God wants to give to us. In conclusion, our God is loving and forgiving. And so may God's love and forgiveness move our hearts to penitence before God and forgiveness towards other people. Amen.